share with you what the Lord has placed upon my heart for Healing Springs Church. And as I was praying on Friday, we had a very good time just looking at scriptures. We looked at Luke chapter 15, and the Lord opened our hearts to see some very good things there. I want to encourage you to go read that scripture again and look at it and try to grasp what the love of God looks like from that scripture. But you know what? I was praying for today being the day we celebrate 10 years, one decade of being here and doing the church of God, being the church of God in Basingstoke. The Lord said to me, it's time for the next level. It's time for the next level. 10 years is 520 weeks. Amazing, amazing God. And when God says the church is about to move to the next level, He's not talking about the organization called Healing Springs. He's talking about the individuals that make up that church. All right? And I believe God is about to move everybody here to the next level. And we're going to see the manifestations of that as a church. Hallelujah. So, Father, as we look at your word, I pray that you will open the hearts of your children. Let faith arise. Let everyone take action on your words. And let there be transformation. Lord, as you have brought Healing Springs Church to this point, 10 years, we declare that the next 10 years will be so much more amazing. And it will be bring more glory to your name. We declare it in the name of Jesus. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to your children. Take all the glory, Father. In Jesus' name. You know, there's some things that the Lord said, and I wrote them, that I'm going to read them to you about what is going to happen in the next 10 years. Now, I was praying. I was saying, Lord, what do you want to say to your church? And He said, it's time for the church to move to the next level. And He gave me these things. They're not in any order. They're not more, one is not more important than the other. I just wrote them as they came. If I had more time, I would have arranged them the way I think is more important. But it's not like that. Just take them. The first one, it says, supernatural manifestations. Supernatural manifestations will begin to be evident in the homes of members. You're going to begin to experience healings, salvations, filling with the Holy Spirit, prophecy, words of wisdom, all those manifestations in the homes, not just at church. I mean, as people pray in their devotions at home, you see miracles begin to happen in the lives of the members. Number two, divine wisdom in various aspects of the life of the members. Divine wisdom. Hallelujah. What does that imply? You're going to begin to know about patents, because God will give you solution to problems. Christ-centered businesses, world-changing ideas, landmark achievements will begin to pop up in this church as in the next 10 years. Be expectant. Hallelujah. Number three, deep spiritual leadership demonstrated among the teenagers and young adults. Deep spiritual leadership demonstrated among the teenagers and young adults. You see them in the next 10 years. We'll all witness it. Hallelujah. Great joy and peace in marriages with powerful spiritual encounters recorded during private devotions. You know, great joy and peace in what? Marriages. You begin to see manifest in the next 10 years. Rehabilitation of many who are broken in the community. So in the Basingstoke community, rehabilitations of many who are broken through the prayers and obedience of the members. Those are things you should expect in the next 10 years. Regular water baptisms as the lives of members draw friends and neighbors to Jesus. Water baptism will be coming regularly because the lives of the members will be so evident of God's power that people will be drawn to Him. Financial abundance for the members of the church at every level. And what I mean by that, what I saw by that is that no matter what level you are, you're going to be satisfied. You're going to be seeing people beginning to do awesome things in God financially. Number eight, and that's the last one for this list. Supernatural manifestations are the places of work, businesses, schools, community events, academic presentations, and political events. The people in this church will bring God to the society, to the secular space. You bring God there. You show up there and great things begin to happen. Hallelujah. That's what is prepared by God for this church in the next 10 years. And He has put in my heart to say that to you and to share that with you today. But there's something. There's a challenge. As God wants to do this for you, the enemy says, no, He doesn't want this for you. And I'm going to give you three tips today to make sure that every word that God has spoken concerning this church, concerning your life, comes to pass. I'm going to give you three tips. They're not only three, but that's all we have time for. I'm going to give you three. All right? Now, as you grow in life, there are certain things that you begin to experience that you don't experience when you are younger. When you are a child, your parents cover you. They shield you. They protect you so that you don't experience certain things. But as you grow older, you begin to experience them because now you are not under that shield as much. One of those things is that you become more susceptible to being defrauded. When you are a child and all your money belongs to your, in your hands of your parents and they protect you, check you, you don't get defrauded easily. Con artists will not be able to access you because they access your parents. But as you grow older, the con artists can show up and access you. And the Lord said to me to share with you that as we engage the world around us, we are in the final days, we are in the end times, we're in the end of time. And there are certain things that you have been enjoying through the covering of your pastor as a young church that are no more going to be there because you are going to step out in boldness. Hallelujah. And let me ask you a question. Is there anybody here you've been defrauded, you've been conned before? I've been. Let me see who else. Yes, yes. Very good. If you have been conned before, you know what I mean. Some people have not. Maybe it's a privilege. I don't know. Or maybe you're just blessed. Good. I have been conned. And I'm going to tell you something about that. We're going to use that to learn about the devil today. But I'm not going to talk much about the devil. I'm going to talk about God. But I just want you to know about that. When you have been conned, it doesn't feel good. You know, it doesn't feel good. It just doesn't feel good. Because when you got into the transaction or relationship, you weren't thinking you're going to go out shortchanged. And so when you go out shortchanged, you don't feel good. But the devil who we deal with is like that all the time. He's a con artist, and he has been doing it since the beginning of the scriptures. If you're not a Christian and you just open the Bible, you want to start reading it, you see him show up as a con artist from the beginning, and he's consistent. He does that all through. And the Bible says when he's speaking lies, what is he doing? He's speaking his local dialect. That's the devil. He's always tricking and scheming. And at this time, he's doing it a lot more because his time is short. Now, when you are conned, there are several things that causes con artists to operate. Let me tell you when I was conned. I'm lucky it wasn't that much. I'm really lucky. I'm blessed. It wasn't that much. I was going from my work. When I finished my university, did a master's degree, and I finished, and I started a company. And I was going from work. I was going home. And for some reason, I didn't go with my car that day. I think I parked it and I was driving. I was walking and this nice car comes and parks beside me and says, young man, do you need some nice suits? So they brought out some really good-looking suits to me and they showed me the price tag. I think they were in thousands. I said, these nice suits, you can have them. And I said, how much? Oh, you can have them for, I think he mentioned the amount. I can't remember, 500 or... No, he says, no, you know what, we're going to, we really have this problem and we really have to move this thing right now. We're just going to give you this much and for some amount, 500, I think, each one. And they were going to give me two or three. And I said, no, I just want one or something of that nature. I can't remember exactly, but I can remember. I'll tell you what I remember very well. And so we talked. He showed me, looked at it like that. Before he knew it, I was with a suit that I never prepared to buy. And he had gone away with my $500. Then I went back home and I did some research and I saw that the suit was $90. I felt very bad. Conned, deceived, tricked. But I want to tell you, every day we are facing this in the spiritual, but you don't know. Every day. Three things that makes the con artist succeed in his craft. Three things. They pretend to like you, love you more than your neighbors, your friends, your family. That's the first trick. They show up as if they care. You know, that guy shows up. You know, he can't just say, take this suit and I would have bought it. No, he comes and says, you are a person that the way you are, you look like you appreciate good things. You see, it's working me. You look like you appreciate really good things. You know, you would know that this suit will cost at least $1,000. Right? Right? You know, it's pushing, trying to get me. I like you. I don't know why I stopped, but as I just looked at you, I felt that you are somebody that we can help. We are in trouble. We need to move these things right now. We have to get out of something, this country, something. I have to leave the country. I just have to move this thing right now. And you happen to be the one that we're choosing. We like you. That's why he's trying to prove that I care about you more than your friends, more than the people around you. Or else he's trying to prove that I know a lot more than your family. And I'm just privileged to bless you with this knowledge. That's what a con person does. Any con artist that's going to get you, they're going to get you like that. They're going to tell you that they like you, they care about you, they want to help you, they want to solve your problems that your family cannot solve. And if you tell them, you know what, I'm going to tell my family, say, no, you don't need to do that. No, you don't need to do that. You make a decision right now. It has to be now. Right? That's the first thing every con artist does. Second one is that they tell you, I can give you what you want very fast with little or no effort. Right? Something you want, I want to give it to you very fast with little or no effort. All the cons are like that. They're the same. Same thing in Genesis. It's been in Genesis since when? 6,000 years? It's still happening today. It's the same script. I can give you what you want fast. There's nothing wrong with me buying a $500 suit. I can buy it now. But I wanted it then. Not now. Now it's like 20 years after. I wanted it 20 years ago, able to buy a $1,000 suit. There's no problem. We put it on a card. We just transfer it, pay it. Now, I can do it now, but I wanted to do it 20 years before now. And that's where that guy came and said, you know, we'll make it happen. Make you wear a $1,000 suit now. Fast. No stress. Just do it there. That's what they do. That's what a con man does. And that's what the devil does. I'm going to show it to you. And the last one is, if you don't follow my instructions and do what I want to do, you will suffer some pain. Now, how did they do that? They said to you, look, you're going to lose all of these things. There's this, there's a lot. If it's financial, you lose a lot. Sometimes they say, you look like a fool. Now, this third part, I'm going to make you feel pain if you don't continue to go along with me. Sometimes happens only when you're already caught up with them. They got you once. They want to get you more. We're going to make you, you're going to look like a fool. Why would you make such a foolish decision? They get angry. You see a con man getting angry before? They get angry. They pretend that they're angry with you. What is wrong with you? We've been talking with you for these past 30 minutes and you are behaving as if you don't understand good things. They harass you so that you can move. You can take action. Now, the devil is like that. The devil is like that. You're wondering, how can we be doing a sermon and he has not opened the scripture? It's time to open the scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I just wanted to give you a good preamble to understand what the Apostle Paul was sharing with the pastor Timothy. Verse 1. But understand this. He was telling the pastor Timothy, and I'm saying to Basingstoke Healing Springs Church, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. In the last days, these are the last days, there will come times of difficulty. In New King James Version says perilous times. What does it say in other versions? Verse 1. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. What does it say in yours? Terrible times. Why? Dangerous times. Yes? Many troubles. These are the times we are in right now. Times of trouble. Dangerous times. Why? For people will be lovers of self. Lovers of money. Proud. Arrogant. Abusive. Disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power, avoid such people. All right. We could do a whole series on this, but we're going to shrink it. When Paul is writing to a pastor and telling him that there's going to come a time when many who look like Christians are not going to be Christians and you should avoid them. You know that that's serious business. It's happening now. It's happening now where you go into a church and you see all these beautiful people well dressed. And once the service is over, you see them singing, worshiping, praying, and everything is good. Then the service is over. They go into their space where they normally live and you can't see the difference. There's no power. There's no peace. There's no love for God. There's heartlessness. There's hardness of heart. There's disobedience to parents. There's every single thing it says here. Ungrateful, lovers of money. Money is not bad, but when it motivates your decision, there's a problem. Money is not bad. But if it is what you use to decide what to do, you're in trouble. If you get a job, you're working and you're earning, say, 50,000 pounds, and then you get another job, 100,000 pounds, and you change job from 50,000 pounds to 100,000 pounds without praying, without asking, you are in trouble. You may say, "What?" But it's obvious that it is God that answered the prayer. It's not that obvious. These are troublous and terrible times. There are times you jump ship like that, and 2-3 weeks after, you are struggling in every area of your life. And if you had just waited 2-3 months, you could have gotten the same transfer, the same promotion, but in a more peaceful place. So there are times, these times that we are living in, where people are making decisions by every other thing but by God. And they are in church. Why do I say they're in church? Because it says, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. What I want to share with you today is that if you will make a difference in the community that God has put you in, you must be aware that the enemy will try to make you into this. Yes. The enemy will try to make you into this person that has a form of godliness but have no power. You will attend church, you will clap and sing, but the devil knows that whenever he needs to slap you, he can slap you. And he will go scot-free. You know, the devil knows that he can slap people, but he knows that if he tries some people, he won't go scot-free. But some he knows he will do it and you get nothing would be done. Because there's no power. There's no intimacy with God. You don't know God. Not that you didn't know God, but over time, all of these things happen. The first one is lovers of self. Lovers of self. The enemy comes in, sneak in like he did to Eve and says, did God really say that you shouldn't eat of this? What's that? What does that mean? It means that God may be lying to you. I'm smarter. I'm wiser. I care about you more than God who created you. And the same way he will come to you and say to you, do you really have to read your Bible every day? You're so busy. Get up and go to work. Would you really need to pray about everything? You're so busy. Just go. Do you need to call your children together to pray at home every day? Why don't you just do only weekends? And once you say yes to that, you are in trouble. Just do only weekends. Okay. When you do only weekends, what do you think you are saying to the children? School, work, other things are way more important than your communion together as a family. Instead of saying only weekends, why don't you say, can we find some time in the evening? I'm trying to say to you that if we are going to move forward at this end times, we must be aware of the con artist who's going to say to you, you don't need to do all that God wants you to do. Proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable. I see that a lot because I talk a lot to married couples. I don't talk to couples. I talk to married people. And I do talk to couples, but the people I try to talk to, I talk to them when they are in trouble, when the marriage is in trouble. And when marriage is in trouble, you don't need to talk to two people. If not, you waste all your time. When marriage is in trouble, you talk to one person at a time so that you don't waste your time. So when I talk to these individuals, some are so hurt that they can't even imagine forgiving. They are so deeply hurt. It's a trick of the enemy to bind people. And it's happening more and more everywhere. Hard-hearted, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Do you know how many movies come out every day and how it's advertised? There's nothing wrong with watching one or two movies from time to time, but when your decision is based on fun all the time, I want to have fun. Check it, you may be in the hands of the con man. And how do you know that you have been conned? Can someone give me an idea? Those who have been in that shoe before, how do you know? When you have been conned, do you know why it's happening? No? If you knew what is happening, You won't be conned. You won't be conned. You won't be defrauded. When do you know? Tell me when you know. Long time after. They've gone. Long time after. Then you realize, oh my, my, my. Oh my, I've been had. Now let me tell you. This is why this is so important. You may wonder, this is 10th year anniversary. Why are you preaching such a serious message? Because the only time you realize that you have been defrauded may be when you cross over to the other side. You know, the devil can wind you so long that by the time you are finding out this, it's either you are at the gate of crossing over or you're already there. And they're asking you so many questions and you're wondering, oh my, oh my, my. I read a book the other day and the guy said they interviewed many people who were dying. And there's one thing that he had never heard a person who was dying say, I wish I'd made more money. Or I wish I worked a little more. He has never heard anybody say that. When they are dying and you are helping them, he has never heard one say, ah, the only thing I regret now is that I didn't have more money or I didn't work more. Now, if you are never going to regret working more or making more money, why would you pursue that with your life? Why would that be your greatest investment of time? The thing that if you don't do, you will never regret it. You then invest all your time, your life in it. 8 hours of the day, every day. Some work. I met a guy. I asked him, what's happening to you? You know, I was talking about, you want to know about God? He says, I used to know God. I said, what happened? He said, now I work 7 days a week. For what? For what? Why would you work 7 days a week? To get what? To get money. Lovers of money. Lovers of pleasure. That guy has gotten conned. The enemy has defrauded him. You know what happened? Years will pass. Years will pass. One day he may wake up and discover, oh my, those years, maybe he will recover. I'm praying that if there's anybody that's already been conned, you'll wake up today. Amen. And I'm trying to warn you that in the next 10 years, there's so many things that God wants to do. Do not allow the enemy to stop you by tricking you. That he loves you more than God. That's the first one he tries to say. I have this great idea. Or that you can get what God already has for you faster. I'll get it for you faster. You women and children, go to church. Me, I'm a man, the owner of the house. I'll sit at home. I'm eating my cake and having, since my children are covered, I'm covered. I'll just pray here. You've been defrauded. You have been what? Defrauded. You only find out many years from now. Sometimes some men find out when their son say, I'll slap you. Eh? You will slap me. Yes, I will slap you. Useless man. Now, how'd that happen? He was conned. When he was supposed to train up a child in the way he should go, what did he do? He said, you children, go with your mother. I'll be here watching. It will come back. The children are the ones that the enemy attacks the most. He wants to get their heart. And that's why you go out now, you see a lot of young children, they are YouTubers. They are richer than their father and their mother. Now, that's what we pray. I want my child to be a millionaire. And I won't have problems anymore. I wish. But when the child is rich like that and they have no fear of God, it's a sad thing. Because the father doesn't have any respect anymore. I wish you would understand that the world is changing very fast. And the world needs desperately the light. And you and I are the light. We are that light. I'll get you what you need first. And the last one is, I will give you a lot of pain and problems if you don't follow me. And it's true. The enemy would try to attack you. Try to frustrate you. Cause you lots of pain. And persecute you. And I'll give you three things that you need to do to overcome that. I won't explain them. I'll just mention them. Number one, Three things to overcome the lies of the enemy. Number one, recognize that the devil is your enemy and believe what the Bible says about him. That's the first thing. Recognize. You have a devil. You have an enemy. Every time you are making a decision, ask yourself, who is inspiring this decision? Is it the con man or is it God? Don't think you yourself. Don't say, it's not God, but it's me. The moment you say, it's not God, it's me, you are being conned. You have no value. You have nothing. You as a person, you have no decision to make. You are always being influenced, either by heaven or by the devil. I don't have enough time to prove that to you today. But take it home, do the research. Every time you make a decision, you're either being influenced by heaven or you're being influenced by the con man. Number two, put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. Not some of it, not just the helmet of salvation, not just the breastplate of righteousness, not just the belt of truth. No, I see a lot of Christians, they do all those three. Helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth, shield of faith, sword of the spirit, but they refuse to go out to preach the gospel. No shoes. You have to put on the whole armor. Last one, let love dominate your heart. Love, let it dominate your heart. When you have these three, you are settled. A lot of protection against the lies of the enemy. I like to talk about the last point a bit so that we'll get into prayer. Let love dominate your heart is a good way to protect yourself from being conned by the enemy. When you allow love dominate your heart, I mean love for God and love for the brethren, what will happen is that when the enemy is about to trick you, because you are in community, you will get protected. One man told me, there's this business about gold. Somebody is bringing gold from my country. They are going to transport it. We are going to make a lot of money. It's a good thing. But he made a big mistake, the biggest mistake. He said, I'm trying to surprise my wife. You have made a mistake, my brother. Don't surprise your wife. Shit. You know what happened? You can know. You know, of course, why I'm telling the story is because he had to tell his wife. But by the time he was telling his wife, the money is gone. The money is gone. Story after story. Oh, this sheep got lost. This happened. No money, no gold, nothing. You know, he gave the surprise to his wife. It was a very bad surprise. Don't do that. Stay in love. Stay in community. Trust that God that puts you in community knows what he's doing. Hallelujah. Love is very powerful. Love, God is love, right? So whenever you tap into love, you tap into God's power. That's why when you are angry at your spouse or your children, your pastor, your brother, your deacon, know that you are being tricked by the enemy. You have been hurt if you continue in anger. Every time you feel that, I'm not going to that church, that pastor, I can't believe that a pastor can preach that kind of message, quickly warn yourself, I'm about to be hard. I'm not going to do it. You stay there and talk to the people. Express yourself in community. Hallelujah. It's so important. I can't explain this too much. But I just want you to understand this. If you want to protect yourself from being defrauded in these end times by the enemy, stay in community. Let love dominate your heart. Operate in love all the time. Every time you find yourself wanting to retaliate, wanting to run away, wanting to do anything that you know is not the best, stop it. Reconcile. Even if you have to leave the church, go on a good term. Love. The devil hates it. He hates love because love protects. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have some other scriptures, but I'm going to stop you here. I'm going to just encourage you. As we go into the next level, God will begin to ask you for certain things, draw you to certain things. Step up. Hallelujah. Choose to press on, but be aware. Be aware. that you don't want to just have the form of godliness. You want to have the power with it. Quick question. What makes a Christian different from a non-Christian in today's world? It's an interesting question. Just tell me one or two. What makes, apart from the actions of coming to church, I don't want that. Because a non-Christian can walk into church too and pretend. What? Yes. Nick? Yes. Compassion. Yes. Compassion. Yes. It's a good one. It's not money. What else? Anyone? Yes. Faith. Yes. Faith. Let me use the word hope more. Faith and hope. Yes. Faith that the future is settled. You know, you are able to move boldly. No fear. Yes. What else? Yes. Fruit of the Spirit. Love. Joy. Peace. Patience. Kindness. Yes. Yes. What? Fear of God. Yes. Yes. And fear of God manifests in those things. Now, the reason why I'm asking that is that I want it to be your pursuit for the next 10 years. I want you to be, to wish and hope that whenever I enter into a space, the owner of the business, even if he's a billionaire, must want what I have that he doesn't have, if he's not a Christian. Is that possible? Yes. That's what it's supposed to look like. Anybody that meets us that is not a Christian must want to be like us. But you know, the truth is most unbelievers, they don't want to be like us. It's those foolish people that just go there to make noise. That's how they describe us. We just go there to make noise. It's true. It's not only noise that they see. But when they begin to see the compassion, when they are in need, we are the ones there. When they need someone to pray for them, we are there to pray. When they are afraid that the world is about to crash, we are smiling and moving on. Then they realize that, yes, maybe they don't have the money I have, but we could even have more than that. But they have that peace. They have that compassion. They have that joy. And they can make time. What is sad in this time is that the unbeliever is running. He has no time. The believer too is running. He has no time. No time. What are you looking for? The guy, okay, we understand him. He's looking for money. But you, what are you looking for? That you don't have time. No time to pray. No time to discipline the children. No time to reach out to the lost. So we got to change that and not let the devil trick us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. As I was praying, the Lord said, there's someone here that is having a great sense of dissatisfaction. You just don't feel satisfied. You're doing well financially, otherwise, but you feel so dissatisfied. God is saying to you, you've been playing safe for long enough. You've been playing safe for long enough. Step up and trust your heavenly Father. Somebody like that. So I want you to go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray for that person. And if there's any other person that is feeling like that, let's pray. I want you to talk to your Lord and say, Lord, in next 10 years, I should take Healing Springs Church to the next level. I want to be part of that. I want to see this manifestation of your power in my life like never before. I want your love to flood my life, your power to reign in me, your grace to be abundant. And if you're sensing the need to repent, go ahead and repent. Say, Lord, I'm sorry I've not taken you for granted. I've taken you for granted. I'm sorry the enemy has tricked me. But now I see the truth. I must rearrange my priorities. I must focus on your kingdom and live my life the way you want me to. Go ahead and pray. And I sense the Lord saying we must pray for the youth. And I'm going to ask Pastor Ben to do that. Pastor Ben is going to pray for the next generation of people.